The Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show is coming up next, right here on the TJRS Radio Network online radio at its best.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
Now I'm covered.
Now for the first time, you can be covered with a quality health plan from the new Health Insurance Marketplace, part of the Healthcare Law. It's where brand name companies offer plans you can compare side by side, and it's the place to get lower monthly payments.
I'm covered.
So if you have an accident, get sick, or just need a checkup, I'm covered.
We're covered. Now we're covered.
Enroll now at the Health Insurance Marketplace at healthcare.gov.
Online radio at its best. Online radio at its best.
Hey, 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 good stuff.
It's your resident, map of the South.
Let's do this.
I'm telling you, I am first very honored that you would join me tonight.
He has a very limited time spot, so we want to bring in Mr. Alan Sarrell right away.
Hey, how are you, Kathleen?
You know what? I'm going to make you do what it do, baby.
Man, what's crack-a-lackin', baby? What's crack-a-lackin'?
It's time for the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show.
Don't try to call me out, Princess. You can take your love and true purpose and stick it. She's a bitch.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
This week on the Serious Side.
Nobody should doubt Russia's hand in this. As NATO's supreme allied commander in Europe wrote this week, what is happening in eastern Ukraine is a military operation that is well planned and organized, and we assess that it is being carried out at the direction of Russia. Our intelligence community tells me that Russia's intelligence and military intelligence services and special operators are playing an active role in destabilizing eastern Ukraine with personnel, weapons, money, operational planning, and coordination.
Lenore Draper had just returned home from a charity event for an anti-violence group. She was in her car around 10:30 last night, outside of her home in the 1300 block of West 116th Street, when police say someone opened fire.
The audio recording posted by TMZ is truly offensive and disturbing, and we intend to get to the bottom of it as quickly as possible. I personally think the situation is most unfair to the Clippers players and coaches who have to deal with this distraction in the middle of their own highly competitive playoff series. And in fact, I spoke to both Doc Rivers and Chris Paul earlier today to share those sentiments with them.
Good morning and welcome to the Serious Side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jams Jazz Cafe, right here on the TJRS Radio Network. Good Sunday morning to you folks. Today is April 27th, 2020. 2014. Oh my God, I'm getting ahead of myself. And you're tuned to the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. And of course, I'm J. Ryle. And I never share the stage by myself. Let me introduce you to our panelists as they are here every Sunday. First up, she is the host of the True Purpose Development Show and Ladies First Radio. She's the host of a very popular TV show in the Detroit area called Transforming Detroit. She's also the author of the book Pregnant in the Spirit. Let's say good morning to the one and only Dr. Princess Adelia. Good morning. How are you, Dr. Princess Adelia?
I am doing absolutely awesome. How are you and all of those who are listening?
Well, I'm doing great. And hopefully everyone who's listening to the sounds of our voice, they're doing good as well. So can't wait to get into the conversation, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Next up, the man who gets the first and last word here on the Serious Side, the man who really none of this is possible without, the Sergeant of Arms, the one and only Mr. L.E.S. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, sir. How are you? And good morning, Dr. Adelia. How are you guys doing this morning?
Wonderful. Very well. Thank you.
And of course, our political strategist, Jerome Esprit from EspritRadio.net. He'll be along shortly after his commitment with Clear Channel Radio. But until he shows up, we always keep the party going. And I tell you, you can be a part of it, 347-850-1272. We have some great topics on the table this morning. So without any further ado, let's get to them. Something's going on, folks. Russia and the U.S. Does it sound familiar? Yeah, it does. You know, before the Cold War, it used to be we always thought that the Russians had their nuclear weapons pointed at us. We had ours pointed at them. But since the war on terror has taken place, you know, we're into a new phase where Russia and the U.S. has worked together on so many different ventures. But it looks like we're starting to take that turn back. Mr. Elias, let me go to you first, man. I mean, this is serious business. The U.S. has sent troops into the region. There is a warship on its way into this region. Man, what do you make of all this, Mr. Elias?
Well, you know, Russia don't want to back down from the Ukraine deal, man, and we call ourselves the police of the world, so that's what we're doing. We're policing. So, I mean, and you know, from what I've seen on different websites and different shows is that these people are covering their face up, but they still got on a uniform. So, you know, bottom line What they're saying is that these are Russian soldiers that are in there, taking over some of these buildings in the Ukraine.
Okay.
So, and that's just the way it goes, man. I mean, we call ourselves the police of the world, so now we're policing again.
Well, now, do we call ourselves the police of the world, or is it a situation where the citizens, we feel that we're the police of the world? I mean, because if we represent democracy and if we represent everything that's right with the world, how can we sit back and watch this go down? And I'm playing devil's advocate here, Mr. Elias.
Well, you know, I'll always bring this up, Jay. Why don't we go into the Sudan and police that area? Why didn't we go in when Rwanda was going through all that genocide? You know, I don't get it, man. You know, I don't get that. We sat back and watched genocide happen to all those Africans, man, and we didn't do anything about it. If we call up ourselves the police of the world, why don't we police that? Why don't we police that event? I don't
can't
get
answer
it.
That. I'm not sure, but
I can't answer it either. You know.
Well, maybe because
you
U.S.
know.
Interests were not at stake. I don't know. I mean, you know, it's hard to fathom why. But, you know, Russia is a superpower. You know, Putin, as far as I'm concerned, Dr. Prince Zodi, is telling the president to go somewhere and flip off. They don't care. You can put all the sanctions in the world against us. We're going to do what we want to do. And apparently the sanctions are not really doing all that much damage because they continue to go about doing things their own merry way. What say you?
Well, Jay, I don't know. Maybe it's a case we need to mind our own business, you know. Can we get America in order? I don't know. But, you know, honestly, I believe that there are some countries, and Mr. Elias alluded to this earlier, like, I don't know if you said that or if you said that or Mr. Elias said that. Are we the police of the world, or is that just what we call ourselves, like the Ventolini? I mean, are we just trying to do this? Is this us? I want to say I believe it's an executive. It's annoying. It's something that is already known.
What do you mean by that?
I believe it goes without saying because we're, like, supposed to be, you know, the big kahuna. We are the leaders. We're the big country, the one, the land of the free. You know, that's us. We're
right.
The ones that collaborate with other people. It goes without saying. I mean, we make the peace with other countries. I believe for us to sit back, who are supposed to be the ones that are most advanced in many areas, et cetera, I believe for us to sit back, it would just go without saying that how dare they? You know,
how
it's like
dare
the people
who?
Sitting on, how dare we sit back and watch something
okay.
go down and say nothing?
Okay.
You know, so
I don't know. I believe when it comes to the United Nations, maybe when they have their meetings, you know, maybe our president sit at the head of the table. I don't know. I mean, but it just...
Well, that's not proper protocol, so you can't do that.
What's not? What do you mean it's not proper?
The president can't go and take over the United Nations, Dr. Princess Aldea.
I didn't say that he can't. He can't.
Well, you said sit at the head
mean,
of the table. That I just thought that that's what that meant.
Right. But I'm being facetious. Yeah. What I'm saying is I don't know what happens, but I think it's a silent knowing. We're the ones. It's us. We're like front and center. America is front and center, the United States. And everybody else is around us. But we're front and center. So if we don't do something, it's a blatant... we're ignoring, we're not caring, I believe. And whether that has just been a result of us always stepping in folks' business and not minding just our own, or whether that has just been the way it has just been from the beginning. It's been this apparent, this knowing. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how we answer that. I just think that I'm not sure how we answer that, but I know that we are considered the police, or, you know, we are given our names that, we've given ourselves that name, but we're the ones front and center, and we should step in if somebody's having trouble. We kind of bring the peace. We're the catalyst for the world's peace.
Well, I mean, if you look at it now, let's go back and let's simplify this, because I always say that in order for you to understand the big picture, you have to understand the little picture. And what I mean by that is, let's break it down. Let's say that, you know, you live on a block, and the bottom line is that you're the most powerful person on that block. And if you see other people on that block getting bullied and beat up and things of that nature, are you going to sit on your front porch and don't do anything? Are you going to jump into action? I mean, you know, the question is that if we're the most powerful nation in the world, if we are the nation that is trying to set a standard and a precedence for what democracy is all about, then how can we sit idle? And I know, Mr. Elias, you made the comments about Sudan, and I'm with you on that. But the bottom line is, overall, you know, all right, let's break it down even further. Let's say that there's a number two on the block, and the number two on the block is taking over properties on that same street that you live on. Are you going to sit back and just let the number two do what they want to do? Or are you going to control the block? And so I guess the question becomes, how can the U.S. not get involved, right, if Russia is doing what they're doing? You can't sit idle and let them do what they do.
Well, no, you can't sit idle and let them do what they're going to do.
So what are we saying here?
What I'm basically saying is, man, sometimes, man, you need to get involved. Sometimes you don't.
So you don't think we should get involved in this? Is that what you're saying?
I think we got involved with this one. We got involved with Iraq. No, we should have got involved with Iraq. We should.
Well, I'll give you that.
But I'm saying, man, for us to police the whole world. Man, we you know how much money we spend in military, you know, and we want to take care of home first. That's what gets me, you know. Sometimes you do have to step in, like you said. When you're the baddest on the block, you're the biggest on the block. Yeah, you need to step in. You need to take care of business, but not on everything, man. Some things need to be left alone.
So you let some things go by, and you know, either you're in or you're out. I mean, I don't understand how we can't have it both ways. I mean, either you're going to do your thing or you're not going to do your thing.
Why can't you have it both ways? Why can't you have it both ways?
But, okay, let's go back to the block scenario there. So sometimes you're going to jump in when you see people getting beat up, but then, you know, other times you're going to sit on your porch and just watch. I guess I'm not following.
What you're not following is, okay, we went to Iraq. But why do we go to Iraq and get involved in that situation?
Well, but that was because of the Bush administration. And the bottom line is they should have been brought up on war crimes. Okay, they broke the law, in my opinion. International law. They broke the law.
And Vogel Bright and said it best, said, you pick your battles. You got to pick your battles. You don't go in every battle and fight. The bottom line is you definitely pick your battles. You don't get in every battle that they're in. If you do, you wear yourself out. You know, I say we should This Russia deal, yes, I agree. You know, I agree wholeheartedly. But just to get in there with Iraq and the rest of that stuff, man, that was just, to me, wasn't right, man. It was not right.
Yeah, but yeah, I understand that. But we're not talking about that this morning. I mean, I understand what you're saying. But, you know, the thing is that for us to sit back, Mark, here's a million-dollar question, folks, and I don't think people realize how serious this is. We're moving troops, military troops, in the region, okay? We have a warship heading to the region. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm nervous.
I don't like that, because one thing I will say this, I don't care how big and how big of a kahuna we're supposed to be. Russia, those are the people that I have always said to myself, just leave them alone, okay?
You can't leave them alone.
They mind their business. Yeah, but I just want to leave them.
They're not minding their business. That's why we're having this conversation.
I understand. But did you hear what I said, though? I said, I've always said, that means in past, I've always said, just leave them alone. Because to me, Russia, when it comes to battle, when it comes to just war, in my imagination, I always said, to me, they look like the type they would come out and would tear some stuff up, because the way they do the Olympics, the mindset of their people, their ethics of work, and them and the Koreans. I'm like, just leave them alone. Let's not get
the way
into
they
any.
Do the way they did the Olympics.
The way,
I'm going to fall for this. I got to hear where you're going with that one.
Okay. Be quiet, Matelia. Okay, this is the thing.
Yeah.
When you look at the way they, for the Olympics, okay, the way they do their exercise, their tryouts, to me, they always seem to have such a focus and tenacity about their craft. I don't know. They seem stronger. They seem stern, more stern than we are. I have a few Russian friends, and they just do things in Russia so much different than we are. The way they go to school, the demand for them to follow through their work ethic is just different than ours. When I think about the Koreans or Chinese, you know, they go to school all year round. When I see the parents, even in the schools, when the parents are working with their children, I mean, what they demand of them is so much more greater than what we are as a people. When I think about the United States as a whole, we are lazy, okay? We have everything at our little fingertips. We cry if we have to work hard for something. We don't, you know, it's a lot of things that we have a lot of growing to do. And when I think about Russia and I think about Korea, China, to me those, especially Russia for some reason, I just believe that they have more, I just believe that if we went to war with them, I believe they would kick our tails. That's what I believe.
I should throw you off the show for making a comment like that, but I'm going to let you have your opinion, because that's ridiculous.
I feel like Russia will blow us up.
That is ridiculous what you just said.
I can't even believe you would put that out in the public atmosphere. Russia,
my goodness.
But I'm just saying, I mean, you know what?
Wow.
Now, listen, I'm going to have to cancel that, because, you know, I believe in power of work and energy. I understand that. I'm telling you I've always thought that. I've always thought that, yeah, we talk all of this, that, and the third, but I've just always thought that Russia would just get us. I just always felt that way. I mean,
there are things you say on this show that I'm, you know, that shock me, but I'm not really all that shocked by that comment, Dr. Princess Aldea.
Whatever. I wish someone just would just say something else with me. I mean, I feel like I'm alone in this. I realize that
you
I'm
are.
Alone in this.
Very much so.
Let's
get Jerome in here, because, you know, we're going to let you think about that.
Like,
maybe
Russia,
you want to retract that statement here shortly. Jerome, good morning. How are you?
Tell us, what do we have on the war? What do we have that we've created that's so
Okay, we're moving on. We're moving on. We'll come back to you when you think about what you just said. Jerome, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Hi. How are you?
Well, we're talking about Russia versus the U.S., and apparently, you know, we're just moments away from getting our ass kicked by the Russians. What are your thoughts on this whole thing that's going on with the sanctions that's going on here with the U.S. and what the international community is trying to do to stop the Russians from doing? Because the Russians are telling us, really, to go to hell. And it's really, you know, we talked about that. We have troops moving in the region. We have a warship that's heading over there. It's some serious stuff going on, Jerome. What are your thoughts?
I don't know. I don't know where to begin, but I can just start off really slow by saying this. We don't really have, like, the moral authorities to go judging everybody across the planet, for one. And secondly, it is almost like saying, how come we didn't react when the British went into the Falklands or Israel killed that guy in, where was it? Saudi Arabia, India, or something.
Yeah.
Nations do things. And that was a part of the Soviet Union, not Russia, but it was a part of the Soviet bloc. And we don't really own that. I think that our only interest in the region is our partnership NATO-wise, because oil flows from Russia through the rest of the Western countries, you know, or whether it's Germany and the U.K., it stabilized the region, their energy does. And so that's pretty much all the U.S. is probably protecting. But we're not going to go to war for a Soviet bloc country. And that is silly to say that they're more disciplined and stronger than us. That is retarded and silly.
Like, so what don't say it's retarded and silly. Do you know a lot of Russians?
Understand
do you
what
know
I'm
Russians?
Saying, though. Well, listen, I'm sorry to actually throw that out. I probably shouldn't have said it that way. But it was.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Here's the thing. The thing is that we need to know that a part of what our freedoms are is that we have a little bit more freedom of movement and thought. And just because somebody's in jail or in the military don't make them smarter or stronger than you. Military people come out of the military all the time with that mindset of you're just, you know, civilians that don't know what we do to protect the country. That's a mindset. Brainwashing is brainwashing, no matter how you slice it. And so whether you're from one of those nations, Germany, Russia, or whatever, or North Korea, or any of the countries that discipline their kids in such a way that is brainwashing, and as our freedom, we get to look at that, and then we look at our kids and call our kids lazy. We're like the most inventive, creative people on the planet because we do have the freedom to sit here and do nothing and meditate and think, right? That doesn't make us lazy. I know when you look at things like the NBA, people used to say, well, they're just athletes. Why they make more than teachers? Have you ever seen somebody work out for sports? You know the discipline it takes to get your body in shape for that. So don't do, like, really simplistic things like that because your audience may be listening. You may have kids listening. You can't start saying that. That is old 1950s brainwashing of ourselves. And so the world is a little bit more complex than that. So I'm not really quick or inclined to say one way or another that that's the evil guy and that's the good guy because technically we don't really know. That game is being played from someplace else, and it has to do with oil and natural resource partnerships that makes us go in the region. But I think the president actually said this. We are not going to go to war with Russia because of Crimea or the Ukraine. That is NATO's issue, and the UN has to kick in, and we support. Remember, we didn't even go into World War I because we didn't have the resources, like, to have a naval battle. It was only when we got bombed by Japan that brought us into the war to begin with. That's pretty far away from us for us to be concerned like that. We are supporting our allies. And so since we have all this military power, all we're doing is showing presence, but we are not initiating jack because it's not in our interest. And the reason that the sanctions are important as well is they're doing light sanctions and they're escalating them. But if they sanction Russia, because Russia's economy is fragile, if we sink their economy. It's going to spike their prices, which is going to spike Germany's, which is going to spike everybody in that European Union prices for natural gas and oil. And there's another potential problem of unrest all over the place. So it's not really that simple of throwing stones, let alone Russia's helping us negotiate with Syria and Iran in their missile situation. It is not that doggone simple. And even when I watch the stuff on TV, people are acting like, hey, they're the bad guys. They do this. We need to go in there and show force. It's like, that is bull. That is bull. You are wearing it like it's your high school team playing against a rival. Kill them, kill them, kill them. It's not that simple.
Yeah.
There's a big, complex world out there, and we have to be really careful on how we spread nonsense and spread venom when it comes to other people. They're human beings like we are, and that's not like it's Putin against Obama. That's people watching Fox News. We really have to back out of that, and I thought as a country we were getting smarter.
Well,
we can't
apparently,
be smarter.
You thought, apparently you thought wrong. Yes, Dr. Princess O'Dea.
I would like to say something. First
of all, before you say anything, would you like to recant that statement you made earlier?
No, I'm not recanting.
Okay, go ahead.
I said what I said. I said I have a right to my view.
That is true.
That's my view. Okay?
Okay.
And,
not a problem.
And I don't believe that any of us should call our comments or our views silly. It is what it is. That's what I think.
No, but that was silly, though. I mean, you can say...
You felt it was silly, that's fine.
What you want to, and I blame J. Ryle for not muting you. But here's the thing. When you do something very serious, like I'm really responsible for my words, and when I don't know something, I say I don't know. But the problem
I'm not saying
that
you
what you should or should not say. I'm not
okay,
even.
Okay, let me finish. Okay. Let me finish. Okay.
All I'm saying
let me
is that
first.
What happens is
first.
That we have to be conscious about what we say to the audience, because it's not so frivolous to just call names and then throw stuff out there randomly. Yep. People.
Hold on.
I didn't
randomly say anything. I said what I said because that's how I feel. Okay,
It didn't come out randomly.
I just made it up in my head. This is something I've always thought. And that's the truth. That's my truth. Okay,
I blame J. Ralph.
No one's blamed. It's bottom line. That's my truth. When I look at other countries, to me, I just don't call anybody's thing silly. I may not feel how they feel or whatever. Sometimes, I mean, this is something that I specifically said. This is what I've always thought. I didn't make a comment to the real case in the real case. I made a comment of how I think of Americans and Russians.
Yeah, but you condemned Americans by saying that we are not disciplined. We are not. That is condemning a bunch of people.
No. I said when it comes to Americans, okay, when it comes to Americans, I think about the discipline that the other countries have when it comes to, like, education and certain things like that. And they may be, I'm not saying that it's all good. I'm not saying that that's how it should be. I didn't say that. I said specifically their discipline. For example, I remember when there was a discussion that our school was having some years ago about extending the time for education. Instead of us getting out, the kids getting out in May and June, having it where they have a couple of weeks in the summer and, you know, they go ahead and do a project study throughout the summer so there's some consistency. So just in that study, in the conversations that parents had, tons of parents, and it was almost unanimous, that's ridiculous. We can't work our kids like that, blah, 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 blah. I mean, this was like the big discussion. When I have Russian friends, and I see how they do. Russian friends that have not been in America that long, thereby they still do Russian things, and I talk to them about how they do in their culture, etc.
Okay,
I haven't been there.
I'm going to ask you to hurry up and wrap it up, Dr. Prince. We're running out of time here.
I understand what you're saying.
Allow me to wrap it up. Only thing I am going to say this, and I always, I'm going to restate.
I blame
period.
Jay.
I feel that Russia, just me, I feel that in a war, that it would be a war that it would be, we would have to be reckoned with, that we would really have to be, we would really have a good fight on our hands. That's what I believe. I just believe that. I don't have anything, I don't have knowledge of the war, of what they have in their war, guns and all of that. I just believe that it would be a war to be reckoned with, fooling with Russia. That's just, That's it.
Okay, all right. Well, at least you changed because you said we would get our ass kicked, so I'm glad you changed your stance
same
on
thing.
That.
It's
all
the
right,
same
thank
thing.
You very
well,
much.
Okay, okay, well.
All right, okay, well, all right. Listen, all right, coming up next, folks, we're going to talk about what happened to this wonderful young lady in the Chicagoland area, once again a victim of violence. We'll be right back after this.
Hi, this is your resident Map of the South, Moms and Little Donnas, kickstarting your weekend every Friday with Ladies First Radio, The Jay Rouse Show, a show for women, by women. Tune in every Friday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as my co-host, Princess Odelia, and I discuss everyday issues and offer inspirational solutions. From the East Coast to the West Coast to all over the world, Ladies First Radio keeps it real, spreading positivity one show at a time. So come be uplifted with Ladies First Radio, The Jay Rouse Show. Every Friday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Ladies First Radio, The Jay Rouse Show. A show for women, by women.
Lenore Draper had just returned home from a charity event for an anti-violence group. She was in her car around 10:30 last night, outside of her home in the 1300 block of West 116th Street, and police say someone opened fire.
Welcome back. 347-850-1272 is our call-in number, 347-850-1272. You're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Rouse Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGR's radio network, online radio at its best. Once again, that call-in number is 347-850-1272. Let's say good morning to our panelists once again, to the very lovely Dr. Princess Aldea. Good morning, Dr. Princess Aldea. How are you?
Awesome. Fabulously well. How's everyone?
Sounds like you're having some mic issues. You may want to check into that. No problem. What's going on there, Jerome, the smartest man in the world? Good morning. How are you, sir?
Hey, good morning, Jay. How you doing?
Doing all right. And I'll make sure that my mute button skills will be, I'll work on those during the commercial break for you, Jerome. And the one and only Mr. L.E.S. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing this morning?
Glad you guys are in the house. Mr. Elias, can we say hello to a few people out there in our chat room, and we'll say hello to some folks that's out there hanging in cyberspace. Who do we have out there, sir?
We had Easy Rider. We got, of course, Jerome's in there with us. We got Guest, Sniper MG6.
What's going on?
Burner's in there. And Volvo Rider 2.
What's going on? How are you? I want to say what's going on to Regina D. Gina, good morning, good morning, good morning. Stephanie J. is listening to us. And where is she listening to us from? Let me get that information. I always love to get that from Athens, Tennessee. Good morning. Welcome in. Appreciate you guys. We'll continue to say good morning to people as we go about it. Don't forget now, coming up in about an hour and a half, it's on a need-to-know basis with our very own Jerome Esprit. That should be some good stuff. I love the information that we put out there. That'll be coming up for you. Plus, before we go, Chatterbox. You can participate in Chatterbox as well. And it's going to be a good time. We can't wait to get into it. You heard the lead-in, folks. A young lady was shot and killed in Chicago. Coming home from a non-violence or anti-violence rally. If you haven't heard this, here's the story. We'll listen to it. We'll talk on the other side. This is courtesy of the Chicagoland affiliate, the NBC Chicagoland affiliate, Channel 5. We'll talk on the other side.
I saw her, and I kept waiting for her to get out of her car, but she didn't. I kept calling her, and then I noticed that the her window was shattered.
She worked to end violence on the streets of Chicago. Friday night, she became a victim of it.
And she seemed to be a real nice person, young, nice couple.
Lenore Draper had just returned home from a charity event for an anti-violence group. She was in her car around 10:30 last night, outside of her home in the 1300 block of West 116th Street, when police say someone opened fire. The 32-year-old was hit in the arm and chest. She was rushed to a nearby hospital, where she later died.
I'd see her sometimes getting out of a car, and I always see her with her husband, and sometimes she'd walk from this way. I don't know where she was coming from, I guess from work.
Police believe Draper was the innocent victim of a drive-by shooting.
My name is Robin Hunter from the Road to Ceasefire.
This afternoon, members of the anti-violence group Ceasefire went door-to-door in her neighborhood.
We need more people out here like her, and that's why we're here.
She's 32 years old. That's it. Very, very nice lady, very nice couple. Very good neighbor.
You know, once again, so here we are, the streets of Chicago has claimed another life. You know what, Mr. Elias, I think the thing that's so disturbing about this, it's always someone who's trying to do the positive, who's trying to do the right thing. And, you know, and it's a story that we wanted to definitely talk about because, you know, you won't hear about a story like this on national news. You won't hear about a story like this in the national media. And so I think it's incumbent on us to make sure that we represent and do those types of things. I don't. First of all, Mr. Elias, did you hear about this story?
Yes, I did, Jay. Being that close to the Chicagoland area, I heard about it, most definitely. Yeah. And, you know, man, look. Anybody that does good, man, you know, it's a part of life, man. And it's bad that we have to live in a society where the people are trying to be peace advocates, man, and they got to perish like that, man. You know? That's just a damn shame, man. You know, it's a damn shame. You know, they had a shooting in Griffith, Indiana, too, where, you know, the guy came in and didn't like what his wife was doing. I guess he asked for a divorce and killed her, too, man. So, I mean, it's getting ridiculous, man. It's violent. It's just getting ridiculous in our society.
And you think about this. You think about this. You know, Chicago is one of the cities that has one of the most stricter gun laws in the nation. If you get caught with a weapon in Chicago, and correct me if I'm wrong, still, unless it's changed, you go straight to jail. There's no $200. I mean, it's you can't get caught with a gun in Chicago, but yet still up until today's date, there has been over 45 people killed by guns in the Chicagoland area.
You're wrong, Jay. It's changed.
It has changed. So what's the rule now? So is it a situation where the laws are they more lax? I mean, you know, give me an update.
Well, if you got to carry concealed permit, you can carry a gun in the city of Chicago, but you have to go through a lot to get that carry concealed permit to carry in Chicago, in the city of Chicago. So, you know, people can carry and conceal in Chicago right now.
When did they change that? Because I remember us doing a story on a guy who shot and killed somebody who was coming in his house in Chicago. We did that right here on the Sirius side, and they was bringing this guy up on charges because he had a weapon. So when did they change this?
Well, because he's a convicted felon. Well, bottom line is they changed it January 1. They changed it of this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, learn something.
Carry conceal. Yeah, carry conceal weapon. But even before then, Chicago, man, you know, it's just rough over there, man. The bottom line is even before then, they had the most strictest gun laws in the country. You couldn't carry and conceal in the city of Chicago. But in Illinois, you could have it with you. But the bottom line is that, you know, if you got caught with it in the city of Chicago, you were going to jail. It wasn't no, you had no excuse why you had it, you know. But now they've changed the law. It's very concealed law. So it's changed.
Wow. You know, Detroit, Dr. Prince's idea, is another one of those cities who's been plagued by gun violence. And, you know, it's like the same old song. You know, what do we do? How do we try to curtail it? I don't know. I mean, if we didn't talk about gun violence, if we didn't talk about, some of these things that are going on, I mean, what the hell would we talk about? I mean, I know there are a lot of positive stories out there, but I, for the life of me, I just don't get why. And they don't get it. They really don't, because they know that the nation's looking at what's going on in Chicago. You know, we know what happened to the young lady who was killed, who had just returned home from performing at the president's inauguration. They don't care. I mean, they don't care. And I don't know what the answer is to this question. What do you do?
What is your question? Why do they do it?
What
why
do you do?
Continue?
What do you do? How do you can? There's nothing you can do. People are trying to be positive in the community. And, I mean, look, this young lady coming home from an anti-violence rally, and she gets gunned down in front of her house.
And that's sad. That is very sad. I will tell you something that
Detroit is doing. Beyond
sad. Yeah, it is, very much so. In Detroit, it's been all on the news. We've got a new chief in town, and there's also some individuals under one of the gentlemen I had on the True Purpose Development show one day, Rick Ector, who's taking a major stand in Detroit. He was put at gunpoint in his driveway some years ago, and he did not have a gun. And he was in one of the upper middle class Detroit areas, Rosedale Park, and he talked about how he was not able to protect his family and how suddenly this happened. So he set out for a mission, and his vision has been to, guess what? Since we are being attacked by these guns, the criminals cannot be the only ones carrying the guns, is what his mission, what his statement has been. Therefore, he set out with the class. He got himself trained and then now he has this class that he has been advocating for citizens to take, and which they have been taking. And I will tell you what has been happening in our communities now. Now, when you watch the news at night, guess what's happening? The citizens are killing the people who are criminals. Therefore, crime is going down in many areas. There's been a lot of talk about it because then you say, well, what are you promoting? Are you promoting gun violence? So now it's switching gears. No, the ones that have now chosen to protect themselves, citizens taking advantage of the rights that they do have, actually, to carry guns, they're now educating themselves on the proper way to handle, and in certain cases, they're stepping up and doing what they have to do. The chief was on the police on the news the other night talking about this. We have a section called Let It Rip, and it is on Fox 2, our local Fox 2 news. It's on Let It Rip with Hugh Perkins, and he had Rick Ector, the chief of police, and a couple of other gentlemen who were involved in the crime force to speak to this matter. Like, are we saying that, you know, are you like the vigilante here? You want everybody to carry guns? And he says, no, but people need to be able to be able to protect themselves. And what happens, criminals, when they see that, when they realize that they never know when they're going to be walking up on something themselves, it becomes less, you know, they're not so amped to do it. Because a lot of times, these criminals are young. A lot of times, you know, they're the young gangs, and they're doing things out here like that. Even the older ones send the young ones out on the street to do it. But even the cops are saying that in certain areas where crime was really high and shooting was really high, now that most of the news is that, well, there was a robbery on the corner of Grand River and Greenfield, and the robber got killed. Next night, well, there was a, you know, and this is the news now.
Yeah.
And then the chief police has come in now, and there's a young lady who got her 15-year-old son got killed the other night walking into a lady's house. Well, she's arguing because her son was, why would she kill a 15-year-old kid? Why would your son be coming through the door? She didn't know he was 15 or what his objective was. But he was killed, you know, so.
Yeah, we talked about that. You know, it's that pound cake thing. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. You know, Jerome, but is that the answer, though? I mean, because that sounds like what the NRA says. It says the only way, you know, their slogan, the only way to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. What are your thoughts? Do you think that citizens should be armed and be able to protect themselves? I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, you're saying that your question was the only way to combat this is to have more guns. Is that what?
Well, that's what you know, Dr. Prince O'Dea is saying, that there are numbers out there that says that, hey, you know, if you had a gun, areas where citizens are now permitted to carry firearms, the, you know, crime rate's gone down. So, I mean, is that the answer? I guess that's where I'm going. Is that the answer, to arm more citizens with weapons, they have more guns on the street? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, usually people who can afford weapons are usually in wealthier areas, too. You're talking about the difference between buying legal guns and illegal guns. So those numbers are a little bit off, you know, me in polling, right? And so what happens is that our gun sales in suburbs are really, 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 really high, right? And so when you say that people who have guns have lower crime rates, it's because they had lower crime rates before they actually bought the guns. And plus, we still have to look at our school shootings and all this other stuff from having this abundance of guns. Now, I'm not saying take them away from everybody or arm everybody. I don't know how I feel about that, but I can tell you that it has a whole lot more to do with people feeling hopeless, and we need to do something about getting people occupied and, you know, as far as getting them employed. And, you know, I think people forget what they did in the 70s. Like, what happened out of the 60s and 70s? How did unrest start, and how did it stop? And what happens is that people keep forgetting that there were programs, there were Head Start, there are things to occupy you. When you have hope for something, then you don't do silliness. But when you starve, some ugly things will happen from starvation. And so you can't you know, separate those and just say that it's just flat bad behavior and people are just showing out and acting out. And this is the simplistic way out, and this is why we have this jail culture. And I don't know if any of you guys saw this a few weeks ago. The UN came out with another story, another study. U.S. was on top of crimes against its citizens and how it jails people. We're number one in that. We mistreat our minorities beyond belief compared to other industrialized nations. We're not talking about nations that you consider to be negative, but just industrialized nations. We are worse at how we treat our minorities. Our minority communities are having this adverse effect of hopelessness and all this other stuff, which is causing us to do some things that probably just seems unreasonable and unfathomable to other people. But the problem with that is that it's a systemic problem, that we are perpetuating something that is being caused externally as well. So, yes, it's personal responsibility. I can get with that. And at the same time, we need to know that the climate is bad. The hopelessness is there. And we need to do something, but it's systemic. It's not a individual problem, because that's why we keep seeing things like, you know, that happened to this person and that person, and we can't figure out how to stop these one individual acts from happening. We can't stop the individual acts, but we need to change the climate so that that's not an option to folks. We lost about a generation in this. Well, probably a little bit more than that.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. You know, this reminds me of a conversation we had yesterday, Mr. Elias. I know it's a little bit a different type of conversation, but we talked about how on the J. Ryle Show, why women support songs that call, you know, women, you know, bitches. And you know, we talked about how can it go away, and we got to a very pretty decent conversation, actually, for that type of show, if you've ever listened to it. And it really, really brought to light some things. And for me, what it really illustrated was the fact that, you know, and I guess the conclusion that we all had come up with was, well, it'll never go away, because as long as people are going to rap about things that they see in their communities, you know, it'll never go away, and you'll never be able to put it away. And I guess where I'm making the transition from that topic to what we're talking about this morning is, it's pretty much the same thing. I don't know if you will ever get rid of it, you know, because even though there are communities out there that have programs in place for kids to do wonderful things, you have children that are not going to do the right thing. You know, I have a neighbor, Mr. Elias, and you know who he is. He teaches at an alternative school, right, one of those alternative schools. And for those who are not familiar with those types of schools, they're schools where they send these badass kids to because they can't commingle with the regular students, so they have to send them somewhere else because they continue to, you know, do the wrong thing. And so they have these schools as pretty much a last resort before these kids are, you know, sent off to juvenile or to jail. And he said it's amazing to listen and watch what these kids do. He says because not only is it a situation where they're trying to create a positive environment for these kids and they don't want to accept it, he said, but you ought to see some of the mamas that come up there when their kids get in trouble. And he said it's a systemic problem, and as long as you have babies having babies, Mr. Elias, you know, uneducated people having, you know, kids, is not going to, the situation will never go away. And he said he's troubled by it. I said, man, I need to get you on our show. I said, because, you know, we talk about a lot of stuff pertaining to the African-American community. And, you know, I think his story is a story to be heard, because a lot of people think when these kids go to these types of schools that all, you know, they're like in jail. He says, man, it's a complete opposite, at least where he works. But these kids don't give a damn. They don't care. No matter how much positive reinfluence or reinforcement you try to give these kids, they don't give a damn. They don't. So how do you reach that knucklehead, Mr. Elias? How do you reach the kid who really, you're trying to give him all he needs, but he or she is like, hey, I don't care. You know, if I want some, I'm just going to go take it. Why? You know?
I can respond to that, Jay.
Well, okay.
Go ahead, Elliot.
Yeah. We're all products of our environment. We're definitely all products of our environment. So if that's what he's got in his environment, that's what he's been bred with. The bottom line is, if you take a kid out of that environment long enough and teach him what you're showing him is a different way during the day, that this is how he's supposed to be, and then he goes home to a different environment. Look, and bottom line is, so that environment is not conducive to what's going to make that kid a positive person. Look, I hate to say this, but I bring it back to what Steve said a couple of weeks ago. It's jobs. If you put jobs in our community and you give jobs to people who show them a better way, what do you think would happen? If you put the middle class back where it's supposed to be at and stop trying to deplete the middle class, what do you think would happen?
But let me ask you something, man. Let me ask you something. And, boy, I know I'm about to get it, but, hey, you know what? My shoulders are big enough to take it.
Yeah,
I know. That's no problem.
I know where you're going.
I know. I understand.
I know where you're going.
Well, hold on. Let me say what I have to say, then I'll bring you in, Dr. Princess O'Day. Here's the deal. I live in a city that the unemployment rate is damn near 5%. I mean, there are places. Listen. For every person that's out there doing wrong, I can show you three or four people who's doing the right thing. I mean, can we solely blame the fact that, you know, there's a lack of jobs in our community? Can we put the total blame on that? I mean, or do we go
I'm
back to
I'm talking about jobs, not penny ante jobs, Jay. I'm talking about jobs where you make money, not where it's corporate greed and you're making billions and billions of dollars and you give your people pennies that they had to go on welfare to survive. I mean, you can have 100% job rate, but those people have still had to go on welfare to survive. Pay these people what they're worth. Pay them people a nice, decent wage. Then see what happens. Hell, you can have the lowest job rate in the world, Jay, and not pay them nothing. And what does that do for them? Nothing. They're still in poverty. So don't hand me that crap about a 5% job loss rate, and you're still not paying the people a decent wage. No, that's not right.
Mm-hmm. All right, I hear you. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Dr. Prince Lede.
I was going to say, just real quick, before my other statement, there was a young lady that was on, oh, God, it just left me. I can't remember if it was, oh, God, it was HBO special. And that's a shame. It just left me, but I'm going to make my point. It was a young lady who had done, she had been out in the streets. That's what she was raised on, was the streets. That's what she knew.
Yep.
She went to jail, came home, and there was someone who saw her and pulled her off of the street so that to give her a chance in TV. This young lady, when the series was over, she ended up, when she got out of jail, she tried to get a job, and she said no one would give her a job. So because of her past record, and a lot of these kids in the urban community, some of those who have been raised in the areas that we talk about that have a lot of violence, a lot of times they have gotten caught up in all of the mess in their community, okay? And they tried to go out and get jobs, just like this young lady had stated. She said, I tried to get jobs, but people wouldn't give it to me. And she said, well, then I went back to the street. You know, I went to where I could get the love from, you know, who was going to work with me. They were going to give me good money, and I was going to do what I had to do, period. She said, but then someone gave her a chance after that. And she ended up going on TV, and now she's looking to do things better in her life. I'm going to say this. A lot of times in communities, we have a lot of things. Like in Detroit, there are a lot of programs. There's so many programs. Some programs people are not abreast of, even though there are a lot. People will say, well, they have TV. They can watch TV. It's all in the news. It's all this. It's all that. But sometimes there are individuals that they don't have a TV in their home or whatever the case is. They can't make it to school because they're hungry or the mom or the dad, or most times it's just the mom that's in this home and not really being attentive to them. So then we talk about these programs, but what has been really missing is the communication, the understanding, meeting these individuals where they are, these youth. The youth have been just they've been lacking. They have been neglected when it comes to us paying attention to their personal situation. And no matter what, we always talk about why things don't change. If we do not come from the core and address the core issue, which is the inside, they've been torn down. They are depressed, they're stressed, they're angry, you know. So some of them are saying, F a program. I give a about a program, you know. I have to walk these streets and I have to do this, and you don't know what I come home to. I mean, a lot of them are suffering from neglect, and when they go to school, you shove a program in their face, shove a class in their face, and some of them are just not mentally ready or willing to hear anything.
So then how do you get them mentally ready? Because if you're saying programs and, you know, reach out and give them an opportunity, and if they don't take the opportunity, then how do you get them ready?
Because we need to first do personal,
we need to
personal
do what?
Development. Personal
oh,
development. There needs to be.
Isn't that a program?
Well, you know what? No, it needs to be in the school. Before they have English, we do English, math, social studies, and all of this. Yeah, that's fine. A lot of them don't give a hoot about any of that, unfortunately.
No.
You know,
no.
They don't really care. A lot of them are suffering in their creativeness, okay? Like, for example, in Detroit, they took art out to schools. Huh? They have to go to a special school to go to get art. A lot of the children are, you know, and they move back. And I've talked to these youth. I want to sing, or I want to do art. Well, you know, F it. You know, it's not there. What can they do for me? Nobody's listening to me. I've heard it.
Yeah.
We don't listen. We say go and get an A, and here we're going to give you all the programs and things to do to get that A, and that's our focus. And they're saying, can somebody talk to me? Can somebody please just understand where I am? Can somebody help me get over this issue that I have inside?
Yeah, you know,
because
I agree with what you're saying. I mean, I hear what you're saying. Bottom line is that, you know, I don't know. It sounds to me, Jerome, that there's really no way out. I mean, you know, if the programs are not available, they don't want them. And then if they're not available, then, you know, obviously they suffer. What say you, Jerome?
Well, I don't think I really understand, like, the question or where you guys are going with that. But, I mean, I have taught summer in one of the alternative schools and I taught computers and there were some kids who were disinterested, but I can tell you this, by the time we ended that summer, they all were interested. See, the thing about people who and all of these kids had weapons charges is why they got sent to this particular alternative school. And you know, the funny thing about that is that you have kids who go to school to protect themselves from other kids. They all get sent there if they get a weapon charge. They'll get a weapon charge if they were being the aggressor or not. So everybody's kind of lumped in. So we make these statements about everybody in the school, like all of those kids deserve that. But what happens is even the ones who were disruptive, who acted like they wanted to be there, it was just me paying a little bit more attention to them for them to not show out. They did what they were supposed to do. But the fact is that it was challenging. I had to take one of the kids out of the room, and the principal just said, I don't want to send them home. And I said, no, I could not favor anybody in that room. Send them back. But I need to kick them out because I needed him to act right. So when the kid came back, I said to him, look, I'm not going to hesitate to kick you up out of here. And what happened is that after a while, and it didn't take that long, so don't, you know, when people go into teaching and saying, you know, I came here to teach and not discipline kids, you're not teaching robots. I mean,
right.
I don't care what you're trying to discipline. You can ride horses for a living, but all the horses don't act right. I mean, I'm not comparing kids to animals just generally, but I'm just saying there's nothing that's doggone easy. Right? Rather you come in to manage a Fortune 500 company, all your employees, some of them fools are unruly and they take long lunches and they don't work. So technically, we're blaming the kids for that, but a part of why we act like that systemically is because technically I went to school in a racist school district where the white teacher actually talked to the white students and did not talk to the black students. I couldn't complain to my parents about that because they didn't want to hear that. I was there to get an education, so that left me talking to my peers opposed to saying that that dude has an issue with me, right? So they got there's a lot of things that happen that makes our kids, you know, get to a point where they're not engaged, but it's not like you should be scared of them or not wanting to talk to them. The fact is, is that that's what's making them anti-whatever, right? They have systemic, like, societal issues because of that. That is a part of what our responsibility is as adults. That's what our responsibilities are, and that's what we need to do is to figure out a way to reach folks. Now, I don't pretend to be a teacher. Never, I don't particularly, you know, like teaching adults. It's just not what I do. But I admire people who work in social services or work with people who have whatever different kind of needs because it takes a lot of patience. And spiritually, you are usually a higher vibration than everyone else to deal with broken people. But if you're not broken or you don't consider yourself broken, that whole judgment stuff of people who are broken is crazy. You can't judge people unless you understand what it is. And if you're not going to take the time to understand what it is, we can't sit back and then point the finger and say, y'all just lazy and don't want to do nothing. Because once you sit down and talk to them, you'll figure out they're not lazy and don't want to do nothing. Their opportunity to do something is hindered by something else.
Right.
That's usually what it is.
Yeah,
and I can tell you, even the little girls in the class, even the girls who were in that class were acting up based upon peer stuff, didn't want to look like this in front of the other kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was really, it was something I'm far removed of because I've been a long time since I've been in high school, but I was so far removed from that, I was like, oh, wait a minute, I get it. My bad. So you two, even though y'all friends, I'm not letting y'all sit together. And it's like, why? And I said, I'm not letting you sit together because I don't want you to. And what it was them two sitting together made them act a certain way. But them sitting apart, they'll look at each other and giggle and whatever, but they'll do their work. But they're not influenced by their peer pressure issues that are going on inside of your classroom.
Oh, boy. That's a good thought. I didn't know that about you. I'm glad that we learned that about you with your background with the alternative schools because I think that that's something that we definitely need to be looking into. And we're definitely going
to
talk about that
more.
I don't
like to talk
about it. All right. Well, we'll bring the other guy in. We'll talk to him.
Okay.
All right. Coming up next, folks, listen. The Clippers, they're in the playoffs. But, boy, there's some mess going on in L.A. We'll talk about it. You listen to The Serious Side.
This is a test.
As we jump into the second set with laughter, a hearty laughter from Toxic Style. Welcome back in, folks. 347-850-1272.
It's still for women, by women. It's your resident, not for the South. Mom, little Donna.
Good Sunday morning to you, folks, and welcome into the Serious Side of the TJRS, broadcasting live from the Smooth Jazz Jazz Cafe.
Powerhouse Sports Talk Radio.
Welcome back. You are tuning in to the True Purpose Development Show. Tonight, we...
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
The audio recording posted by TMZ is truly offensive and disturbing, and we intend to get to the bottom of it as quickly as possible. I personally think the situation is most unfair to the Clippers players and coaches who have to deal with this distraction in the middle of their own highly competitive playoff series. And in fact, I spoke to both Doc Rivers and Chris Paul earlier today to share those sentiments with them.
Welcome back. It's 15 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the Serious Side of the J. Ryle Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network online radio. And it's best. Our call number is 347-850. 1-2-7-2-3-4-7-8-5-0. 1-2-7-2. I'd like to say good morning to our panelists once again, to my main man, Mr. L.E.S. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, everyone. How's everyone doing this morning?
And to the one and only Jerome Esprit from EspritRadio.net. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, good morning.
I think Dr. Princess O'D has stepped out. She'll be back shortly. But when she comes back, we'll say good morning to her as well. Stelius, any new news or any new people in the chat we need to say good morning to?
No, the same
good
one.
Good morning.
Oh, she's back. Okay, good morning, Dr. Princess O'D. You didn't know you were back. And you said the same people were there. Okay, let me step out and say good morning to a few people here. I'd like to make sure we always acknowledge people who are listening to us, regardless of where they may be listening from. So let's say good morning to Crystal. Good morning, Crystal. How are you? Welcome into the Serious Side. Let's also say good morning to Stephanie. Good morning, Stephanie. How are you? Let's also say good morning to Sandra. Hello. From New Hampshire. Good morning. Hello. Rosa, or maybe Rose, or Roz from Knoxville, Tennessee. Good morning to you and to Angie A. from Southfield, Michigan. Glad you guys are in the house. Once again, the number is 347-850-1272. Now, don't forget now, you can always check out the Serious Side every Sunday morning right here at 9 a.m. Central, right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. So let me apologize, too, because I just took a glance in the chat room and noticed that there were some comments being made. Now, one of the things we always say about our chat is that we let people, you know, say what they want to say, but once it gets to the point where it becomes disrespectful, then that's when you're out of here. You can't voice your opinions in a respectful way, then, you know, you need to be ghosts because, you know, we don't tolerate that. And I read some of the comments that one of the guys from the chat room made, and you know, a little disturbing, but, you know, Mr. Elias, the Sergeant of Arms, he's on top of it. That guy is no longer a part of the chat. And so, you know, trust me, if you get ignorant, we're going to throw you out of here because we just don't tolerate that. We can agree to disagree all day long and twice on Sunday, but we can't be in here and be disrespectful because once that happens, then, you know, Mr. Elias, what happens to him?
They got to go. You got to leave. I don't play that.
Homie, don't play that. All right, now also don't forget, now coming up at the top of the hour is on a need-to-know basis with Jerome Esprit. Now, Jerome, a lot of people love it, so I can't wait to hear what you have to say. And since we weren't here last Sunday, it would be very interesting to catch up on some of the things that we missed from last Sunday.
You know,
now, guys, you heard the lead-in. I'm sorry, go ahead, Jerome.
I said you missed a lot, and I was about to say that I have nothing, but... That was a bad joke, so I have a couple of things. Never mind.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now, don't have these people sending me messages.
I know,
and stuff.
Don't get yelled at us.
Yeah, don't get me all in trouble. What? Okay. All right, guys, you're the lead-in. There's an interesting situation going on in Clipperland. If you've been under a rock, this is breaking news. It just happened last night, so maybe you hadn't heard the story. But if you hadn't heard the story, here's a sound clip, and we'll talk about it on the other side.
With the L.A. Clippers in the middle of the NBA playoffs, controversy now surrounds their owner, Donald Sterling. TMZ Sports posted what it says is an audio recording of a conversation between Sterling and a girlfriend. The recording has not been verified by NBC News.
Yeah, it bothers me a lot that you want to broadcast that you're associating with black people. Do you have to?
According to TMZ's report, Sterling was upset his girlfriend posted an Instagram photo of her with Magic Johnson. That photo has since been removed.
You could sleep with him, you could bring him in, you could do whatever you want. The little I ask you is not to promote it on and not to bring him to my games.
The Clippers coach says the team had a meeting this morning.
What are we going to do? It has an impact, and you move on. It upsets all of us. You know, there's not one guy that's happy with this situation.
I mean, we're here to play basketball, so what Doc said goes, and anything else, we're playing basketball.
In a statement, the Clippers say they don't know if the tape is legitimate or has been altered. They say the woman in the tape is the defendant in an embezzlement lawsuit brought by the Sterling family. Sterling says what's reflected in the recording is not consistent with, nor does it reflect his views, beliefs, or feelings. The NBA is conducting a full investigation, saying the remarks heard on the recording are disturbing and offensive, but at this time we have no further information.
If these allegations are proven true, there is precedent in Major League Sports for owners being disciplined for comments like this.
On Twitter, Magic Johnson called the alleged comments a black eye for the NBA, saying, "I will never go to a Clippers game again as long as Donald Sterling is the owner."
I think that there's no way that one can own an NBA team given the NBA guidelines and make these kind of statements and not be removed.
In 2009, the real estate mogul agreed to pay $2.7 million to settle government allegations that he refused to rent to African Americans, Hispanics, and families with children. He admitted no wrongdoing. Tomorrow, the Clippers will return to playoff action with a 2-1 series lead and their owner in the spotlight. Joe Fryer, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Okay. Now, I don't know where to start from here because I was, when this story broke yesterday, I was watching NBA basketball and they were talking to some of the studio analysts about what had just happened. And, you know, people were saying he needed to be suspended. There's no place for him in the NBA. But then what threw me for a loop, Ms. Delias, was the fact that they said, well, the players should continue to play because they're not playing for him. They're playing for their team. Hello, he owns the team. Now, if you were a player on that team, Mr. Elias, what would you be doing today?
Well, what I'd be doing today is trying to find out if what he said was true. If what he said was true, I'd be asking for a trade. Man, I wouldn't want to play for nobody like that. I wouldn't be nowhere near him. If this was indeed a true statement that he put out there, why would I want to play for somebody like that now?
But here's the deal. Now, you and I both know that that can't happen, like, right now. Okay?
No.
Maybe next year, but it can't happen today. Let me ask you, Jerome. If you are a player on that basketball team today and you've heard these comments, and come on, you can say whether it's been altered, it's been verified. If you know the guy's voice, then you know he said it. So my question to you is, what would you do? Would you play this afternoon? Would you play the game?
Mm-hmm. I work for racist people all the time. Here's the thing about black folks. Everybody acts like we can't tell who racist people when we see them. But the problem is that since this is the NBA and you have almost 70%, 75% black people in the NBA, that's a problem for the NBA. I love the way they tried to throw her under the bus by releasing a statement saying that there's a lawsuit against her. But they don't say that lawsuit is from the guy's wife, that he was cheating on her and his wife is suing him. So it's not the family, it's the wife that's suing her, which is irrelevant, but they tried to shift blame on her like she didn't know what she was talking about. And in his release, he said, once it's, you know, the tapes are authenticated or something. But the truth is, he never denied that he said it. So you know what happens when you don't say something, right? You said, I didn't say it. So that dude is guilty. I don't care who needs to authenticate that, but that is a stall tactic, and I am disappointed in the Clippers president for saying that. And I think that major athletes, if you're listening, any agents out there, put in these athletes' contracts that if you are found out that your owner management has racist tendencies against your particular race, that you get to opt out. You should be able to do like they do in the NCAA when your coach leaves and go to another team. You should be able to opt out and go to another team. They should void their contracts to make sure that regardless on what happens that you have in your contract, if I have to go through this on this team, I don't have to make that decision. They need an opt-out clause. That would have folded them right up front. And if you heard what Baron Davis said, who played for the Clippers, he played for the Clippers, the highest paid person on the Clippers, he said that same guy, and he said this about a month and a half ago, or almost 2 months ago, he said in an interview that that same owner called him names, cursed him out while he's playing in a game. The owner is yelling at the highest paid black dude on the court and calling him names and saying, why'd you take that shot, and yelling at him. They've been complaining about this dude being racist for years, and now we need to sit there and do a long study? Ask Baron Davis. He said about
you know, I never heard that story. Wow.
Oh, you have to go look that up, because they're playing it all over the place now. I heard the whole thing in its entirety. And what happens, it was on a podcast radio show that they're actually releasing, but he actually said, here's what that dude did to me when I was playing. And I kept thinking, I am the highest paid person on this team. And he played while Blake Griffin and all those guys were there. He said this guy would heckle them, his own team, from the crowd.
Mm. You know, see, now, this is why I say, if I were a player on that team, listen, there has to be something bigger than the moment. But there has to be something bigger than the moment. And if you want to send a message, I've always been told that if you want to hurt somebody, you know how you hurt them, you hit them in their pocket. It just goes back to, let's say if this happened in the 60s. I guarantee you that if this had happened in the 60s, during the Civil Rights Movement, none of those guys would play. None of them would play. And it's like, okay, well, my obligation is to my team, my teammates. No, your obligation is not to your team and your teammates. Your obligation is to stand up for what's right and what's wrong. I remember watching something, Dr. Prince's idea. This was a long time ago, and I was shocked by this. Remember in the early 90s when they used to have that car freshener thing? It was like a crown, a big silver crown, if everyone had them in their cars. What they found out was that the person that was behind these damn things was a cat who not only didn't like African Americans, but he had some ties to the KKK. And when they interviewed this dude about this stuff, he said, hey, black people like big shiny stuff. That's why we make them. And I was appalled by this. But people continue to buy it. It's like, you know, for example, which one of the major companies, the guy made some racial remarks about President Obama? I tell you, I'll never buy nothing from those guys. I can't remember what it is, and I don't want to be before I put it out there, I got to do my research.
Papa John's, Home Depot.
Home Depot. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Wow, there it is. I hate to hear that because I'm a Home Depot guy, but I have to cross off my list. Well, I'm going to Lowe's now. I'm telling you, I didn't know. I'm shocked. But my point is that if I'm an NBA player on that team, Dr. Prince's Audea, and I'm waking up in my hotel room this morning, I'm seriously thinking about calling my teammates and say, hey, guys, there has to be something bigger than the moment. How do you send a message? We won't play. We won't play until this guy. We'll forfeit this. We will forfeit this. Because let me tell you something. There are strength in numbers. If one guy doesn't know, if the whole team says, hell no, we're not doing it, guess what? Something would happen immediately. There won't be no long, drawn-out investigation. Something would happen immediately. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. I believe that 100%. And I believe they should stand up together. They're saying that they are standing there for the team because nobody's standing up. You know, it's almost like the same thing like in these communities. When nobody stands up, we can talk, but nobody's standing up. It has no, we carry no weight. And I believe that they all should not play. And somebody should stand up. I'm surprised. I want to say I'm surprised, I am surprised because regardless of anything, I believe that when it comes to the racial discrimination, it seems like that's something that black people usually rally up for and try to, you know, want to defend and stand up for. So I am very surprised that they're not doing it. You know, wow. And you know what it speaks to? I'm going to tell you, it speaks to that almighty dollar.
Oh, yeah.
They all have some money on the table, every last one of them. So every last one, I can just imagine that they're all thinking about, if we do this, will this mess me up for the next team? Because you think about the coaches, you know, I mean, I'm not into the sports, but correct me if I'm wrong. Aren't the majority of them European?
No.
The coaches? I don't know. I didn't know. But I will say this. I already put the disclaimer out there before I said it. I said, I don't know. I'm not claiming to. But I will say this, though. I believe that it comes down to that almighty dollar. The other ones that stand up and they pick it, you know, maybe they didn't feel they had too much to lose. I don't know. But these people, the people here, for the coach to say what he said and for them to keep playing like nothing was said, I can only draw the conclusion that this has to do with the mighty dollar.
Oh, it does. And, you know, Jerome said something that I thought was interesting. He says, look, I work for racist people all the time. You know, and they may be out there. I know there are a lot of closet racists out there. But if I knew, Mr. Elias, that the guy that I worked for was a racist and he made those types of remarks about my people, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get my resignation, because I think there has to be something bigger than that. You can't sit here and take the court. This is the slave mentality, if you ask me. This is the slave mentality.
It's called a $40 million slave, man. That's what
I don't give a damn what it's called. I don't care.
I mean, that's what these athletes are. That's what these athletes are, Jay. Look, if this was a Bill Russell, I said it last week when we were talking about Kobe. If this was a Bill Russell, if this was a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown, or some of that nature, they would be standing up for what they believed in. These cats don't stand up for nothing, man. They stand up for nothing except for that almighty dollar, and that's all they're gonna stand up for.
Unbelievable! It's unbelievable that they're not even I don't know. Listen, I can't say that because we're not in the huddle. But what type of position does this put Doc Rivers in? He's a well-respected NBA coach. What is he going to do?
I can't blame them. Like, I think the focus on the athletes, like, here's the thing. Chris Paul is the head of the players' union, for one, right? So he calls, who's the mayor of Sacramento? Kevin Johnson.
Kevin Johnson.
Kevin Johnson. So he called him to make sure that he came out to expand his powers in the investigation. So here's the thing. I mean, if you remember what happened to the Cincinnati Reds owner, Marge Schott.
I remember that.
He was forced to sell a team. So what they're doing, right, you got to remember, the NBA owned the Clippers for a while.
Exactly.
It was the NBA who intervened that stopped Chris Paul from going to the Lakers and made him go to the Clippers. So we're talking a systemic problem. So what I'm saying, that we as consumers don't buy no L.A. Clipper stuff. Magic Johnson said he and his wife are never going to, because he was named in there. She said the owner said to his girlfriend, don't bring Magic Johnson to the game. Don't bring none of them to the game. Like, he didn't want black people there, right? This is a bigger problem than the players. Don't focus on them like they are wrong for this, right? This is unprecedented, where you have somebody dead to right where they can't spin it. We all need to advocate for them, because what happens is that those dudes are on an island right now, and we all need to say in a united voice what the heck we need to do, right? We always look for other people to be leaders and won't lead ourselves. What happens is that, just like Kobe came out, I think it was one of the strongest responses that I heard came from, what's the guy, last name West, who plays for the Pacers?
West. I know who you're talking about. Yeah, I can't remember his name. But yeah.
He said, you know, because the woman was Mexican and African-American, right? She's half black and half Mexican or something. And he said, that goes to an old story. You can sleep with our women. You can do this. You can own teams. They could work for you.
but you don't watch him sitting near you or sitting at the table. That's an old slave story. He pretty much capitalized. He better not get no sanctions from the NBA for saying that, because it's a very old story. But this is not the 60s where, and I applaud them of saying Bill Russell, those guys got together with Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown, very courageous, got together with them. But just like the guys who went to the Olympics in Mexico City in 60 and held up their black gloves, I look for a sign of unity from those guys playing basketball when they step on that court. They're going to – I would not be surprised, and I'd be very proud of them for doing that. But don't think that them dudes are not men, and they don't take that lightly. Chris Paul and them dudes don't play. So regardless on how we see that as money and they're just doing that for the money, that is a very that is not a good way of looking at this from those dudes. They're looking at how to make the biggest impact on the biggest stage to bring light to this. They ain't going to sweep that under the rug. And I wouldn't be surprised again at the end of the season. I mean, LeBron James came out. I would not, and he's very close to Chris Paul. He said, one of my best friends is Chris Paul. So LeBron made a statement. I'm looking for the impact that they're going to do when they come out on this, when they all can get together, united as athletes. They can't let that happen. And they've been throwing hints of that happening. So don't think they're going to make an emotional response, go yell at TV and get muted out and have the NBA black them out and sanction them. They ain't sanctioning them dudes for what that owner did. Everybody else needs to step up to the plate and own this, because we're in denial about race in this country. That's our biggest problem, and that's why we have so many problems, because everybody acts like there is no race problem. So
you know, it's interesting.
I'm looking for everybody else's reaction, not the players.
I want to point out the fact that I think I heard that you disagree with Mr. Elias when you said something about it's not about the money. I just want to point that out because it's very rare. It's like an eclipse here on the Sirius side when you and Jerome are on the opposite ends or something. I just wanted to point that out.
I don't know why that's so petty to me. That is petty. Like, that is you playing with the fact like there's no independent thought going on. Like, we're both smart. We agree on a lot of things. And
of course.
Right with what he's saying. I didn't say he was wrong.
Oh,
I'm
there it is. I knew it. See,
it
was too good to be true.
That's black folks mentality wanting to put us up against each other again.
Yeah. Of course it is.
Did you see what he did? He turned that so that we fight.
Black on black crime. That's right.
347-850.
Oh man, 1272. You're listening to the Sirius Side of the J. Rouse Show, which happens every Sunday morning right here on the TGRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. We're talking about what's going on with the LA Clippers. Now, let me say this. I hear what you're saying, Jerome. But listen, I can disagree more. And the reason why I say that is because as a player, you have to stand up for what's right and what's wrong. And, yeah, we can sit here and be – first of all, me not buying Clipper merchandise really doesn't matter because I don't buy Clipper merchandise anyway. So, you know, for me to go here and play for this man who says he don't want blacks at my games, wait a minute. I'm black, so guess what? I'm going to fulfill your wish. I'm not going to show up.
Are you playing for him, or is it a check?
Let me tell you something, and I wouldn't play for him. That's my point. I would not play for a guy who made these comments. I wouldn't do it. And I applaud Magic Johnson and his wife. He said, I'll never go to another Clippers game. You want to send a message? What should happen today, there shouldn't be a damn black face in that audience. There shouldn't be a black face on that damn court. And if I was the other players, I'm like, look here, I don't blame y'all. It just gets to a point where you have to draw a line in the sand and say enough is enough. Because as they can, let's say they go on and win the championship, Mr. Elias, who's going to benefit from that? Who?
He will, most definitely.
He's
going to
benefit
definitely.
From that. He is.
Yeah.
So you can sit there and say, I can't stand this guy. I don't want to play for him. But, hey, every time you step on the court, let me make that noise for you. Ching-ching, ching-ching, ching-ching. He's making money. So if you want to hurt him, hit him where it hurts, in his pockets. Let his arena be empty today and see how much money he loses. Those guys are rich. Can they go without two or three game checks? Hey, you know what? I have to make a decision. I would love to hear what Jim Brown had to say about this. I would love to hear it. Because you just cannot continue to sit there and say, because of the fact that I'm a professional, I need to do the right thing. The right thing is to make sure our people are not treated the way they are. And what type of message, Dr. Princess Adia, does this send to our youth? This white guy can call you all the names in the world, but you can still go out there and work for him. You can sit here and pretend that it's not going to benefit him. Are we playing for ourselves? Are we playing for our coach? You're
Nobody
playing for the owner of the team.
Jackson. Nobody spoke up for Chris Jackson.
You know,
nobody
was diplomatic when we had to, you know, stand up for Trayvon Martin. We went ham on that. We went hard on that. We go hard on these street things. But I'm telling you, I mean, I understand the politics, but here we go. It's all the politics and money, period. They're concerned about the politics and money. And, yes, to react immediately and do what we are saying is that we are expecting that they should do, it is emotional. And it's also what I even always say. Don't be emotional with things. Sit back and look at the situation first and then respond with wisdom. That is definitely on point to do. Absolutely. So emotionally, we all say, stand up and man, please just stop working. And I think that timing is everything. In this particular scenario, because it was so blatant, I believe that they should have taken a stand in unison for this and just not play. And I believe that even the response that the authorities would have had in this scenario would not have been, they're not going to kick them all out because they're all getting paid. These guys pay them, okay? And because they're so good, they're going to work with them. They're not going to get kicked out of the NBA. If they would have they could have stood with wisdom and peace, and nobody said they had to go rally and picket and all that kind of stuff. All they had to do was bow out and say, we need some answers.
You're right.
One big black on black crime thing. Why are y'all blaming the players? I mean,
I'm not blaming the players for anything, Jerome.
That would be a whole other story. What happened is he was caught on tape saying something that he said a while ago anyway. And so, no, you should not have no respect for that guy. But to actually say what y'all think the players should do is not even. That's not even fair to them. I mean, we as consumers need to pool our money and understand why we need to react the way we need to. We need to actually talk about it on this show. We need to have it on other shows. We need to show the discontent, to show the NBA that the NBA is not making money with no racist dude holding the helm of any of those teams. All of
so then
them
how do you do that, then?
For this.
You
I mean,
do
the,
how do you
them.
Do it, then, Jerome?
How do you do that by not supporting any of that stuff at the NBA until they come out and do something about it?
So what do the players do then?
I don't give a damn about the investigation. I'm not even emotional about it. I don't care about the racist dude. Like, the issue is once you get past this, you understand that the systemic problem is worse for them than it is for us criticizing them from a distance.
Well, I'm not criticizing. We're making a statement.
So the issue is always, what is it that we need to do? And what we need to do is we need to impact the NBA, bombard their butts, and do what we need to do as consumers to make sure that we shut that place down.
They shouldn't do anything?
They have the ability to do that better than us. That's for damn sure. I don't know. Let's get out to the phone line.
Hold on, guys.
We have someone that's been on hold, Mr. Elias. Who do we have? Let's let them get in, and, you know, it's for the people. Who do we have on the line, Mr. Elias?
Oh, yeah, Stiletto. Stiletto's on the line.
Good morning, Stiletto. Welcome to the Serious Side. How are you?
Good morning. How's everybody doing?
Doing great, man. What are your comments?
All right. Now, let's look at what Tiger Woods did. Last year, they came up with some BS on Tiger Woods about him dropping a ball in a wrong place. BS. And it was a caller that called up. Now, Tiger said, okay, the Augusta National organization is going to do this to me, and they are a very powerful entity. He said, okay, I'm going to go out on a back injury, but I'm going to shove a pawn piece first. I'm gonna go three or four games back, so it won't look obvious. this year, the Masters revenue has not been this low ever since 2004, and the PGA ratings on the Nielsen's and attendance has been way down. Tiger made a statement, I don't need you people. You people need me.
Right.
That's interesting. All right, Stiletto. Well, you know, that's a good comment, man. I appreciate that. We appreciate that, I should say. You know, I don't – okay, listen, I hear what he's saying. But, you know, maybe Tiger is trying to some way hurt his back. He's having surgery and all this stuff, so I'm not sure. But, hey, I hear what he's saying. But let's go back to what we were talking about with the players. Look at what Serena Williams has done. You know, back in the early 2000s, she went to Indian Wells. They booed her and her sister. They yelled racial comments at them. Serena Williams, the number one tennis player in the world, the number one overall female earner in the world, she will not go back to that tournament. And they have been saying, Serena, you know, you need to go back now. The WTA has said, look, it's a mandatory event. You have to go or you're going to get fined. Serena said, I don't give a damn about that. I'm not going back. And so you know what happened? The WTA changed their rules because every player is supposed to attend, supposed to play in a mandatory tour event. But now here's the caveat, Mr. Elias. Here's the change. A player has to show up to these tournaments unless they are doing something promotional within a 75-mile radius. The reason why they did that was because Serena Williams said, look, I'm not going to put up with that nonsense. I'm not going to deal with it. You can find me. You can do what you want to. And to me, it's no different than what these NBA players are saying, are doing. You say we, they are part of the we. And to me, there's no stronger impact than those guys saying, look, I'm not going to show up here and play for this guy. And other teams should be saying the same thing. If people would have sat on their ass and let Rosa Parks go to jail by her damn self and did not initiate that boycott, what would have happened with us? And there become times in our history where we have to make a stand. Now, bottom line is, I disagree. Those guys, if I played for the Clippers, I would not be on the court this afternoon. I don't care. And Mr. Elias, you said something about Chris Jackson. You're absolutely correct. Nobody came to that guy's defense when he didn't want to stand up during the national anthem, you know, for
None
whatever reason.
He's a Muslim. He was a Muslim. He didn't believe in it. He's a Muslim. So he
right,
did his
right.
prayer during it. He did his prayer during the time. So, I mean, like I said, man, you know, nobody came to defend.
Well, and look, and I may not agree with his stance on that, but you know what? I have to respect that, and I respect the fact that he stood up for what he believed in, despite the fact that he was ridiculed by everyone in the stadium. Despite all those things, he stood up to the plate, and he says, look, I'm going to be who I am. And so that's why I'm having a hard time with this thing, because I'm not blaming the players. But what I'm saying is every now and then, you know, you get caught up in the moment of history. And your history will be judged on how you react. And you can do it any way you want to. And we'll see what happens. Let me get everyone's final thoughts on this topic before we go. Dr. Princess, I'll do your final thoughts. And hurry up because I don't want to jump into Jerome's time. Final thoughts.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to say that, yes, we need to move with wisdom. And if they have some type of strategic way that they're going to approach this and come back, I mean, that's fine and dandy. But I think in this scenario, I believe it warranted. They didn't have to be ignorant, but I believe that it definitely warranted a huge bow out. Period.
All right. Jerome.
Together.
Yep. I'd say if you want to be ignorant, be ignorant. You can do whatever you want. But here's the thing. I just want to mention, just when it comes to unsung people, because you mentioned a couple of people, when President Kennedy called Dick Gregory and told him not to go to Alabama and Dr. King was wrong, here's what Dick Gregory said to President JFK on the phone. Mm. He said, should I call you Mr. President or should I call you boy? As right as you think you are, MLK is righter, and as wrong as you think he is, you're wronger than him, is what Dick Gregory said. I have much respect for Dick Gregory, as people crack jokes and say he's old and blah, blah. You talking about courage when the President of the United States calls you and tells you not, I think you're wrong, and you said, should I call you Mr. President or should I call you boy? That's courage. Mm. right? That when something confronts you right in your face, you get a chance to opt out or jump in with 2 feet. But we need to understand, too, is that just because a black person does not do that, we don't understand that sometimes we need to lock arms with them and make sure that they're okay and support whatever the heck they're doing and stop looking for everybody else to jump in the fight where you should jump in, too. That's
I hear you. All right. Still disagree with it. Go ahead, Mr. Elias. Final thoughts.
Wait, my final thoughts are this, man. Look, there's strength in numbers and there's power in numbers. Man, I think today's athlete, not just a black athlete, any athlete should speak up and whatever they believe in, they should call, they should champion a cause just like the athletes of yesterday. That's just my opinion.
Oh, man. I love it. Very feisty topic. All right, folks, we're going to speed this along because we definitely want to get Jerome's segment in here. Coming up next, before we go, a quick look at some stories that made headlines real quick. Chatterbox, and then on a need-to-know basis. You're listening to The Serious Side. We're not done yet. We'll be right back. What's going on, guys? I'm Jay, and it's time for your thought of the day for this Sunday. A man who dares to waste 1 hour of time has not discovered the value of life. Charles Darwin. The thought of the day is sponsored by the TJRS Radio Network, online radio at its best. You can go to Facebook and get a thought of the day every day for the week. Just stop by the TJRS Radio Network homepage and be inspired on a daily basis. So until next time, I'm Jay Ryle telling you to make this day your day. It belongs to you. We'll see you next time right here on the Serious Side of the Jay Ryle Show.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
Omówiono najważniejsze sprawy związane z dalszym rozwojem województwa i kraju.
The week that was in the news. All right, folks, it is time for an abbreviated, before we go, a quick look at some stories and main headlines, because we definitely want to make sure we give Mr. Spree as much time as he needs as he continues, or as he brings you on a need-to-know basis coming up here very, very soon. You know, Miss Elliott, this is a story that came out real quick. I'm going to read it. 8:33 a.m. yesterday, a 32-year-old woman who was driving in High Point, North Carolina, took out her phone and posted to Facebook, "The happy song makes me so happy." At 8:34, she was dead. The moment she posted the message, she crossed over the medium of Interstate 85 and collided head-on with an oncoming recycle truck. It's reported that 71% of young Americans say that they have written a message while driving, and in 2012, an estimated 3,300 Americans died in crashes related to distracted driving. So, Mr. Elias, man, what's the word?
Don't text and drive, baby. That's it.
Absolutely. What a sad situation. What a sad situation. Wow. It happens all the time. You know, I mean, I think all of us can say that. Look, I know I've texted and drive, and was driving at the same time. So, you know, we need to stop that because it can be very critical.
Right.
Now, a lot of the new cell phones, smartphones, have the ability where you can dictate to it, and it will print it for you. So, you know, just keep that in mind. But, you know, folks, if it can wait, let it wait. And on that note, it is time for Chatterbox, final thoughts from the social media world and our world-famous chat room. Mr. Elias, do we have a couple?
Oh, yeah, Easy Rider, when he says Putin will not stop occupying the Ukraine, he wants back all the Baltic states that broke away from the Russia after WW2.
Okay.
And then we got Verna, she says, until we take our future into our own hands, we will continue to have conversations about how white people treat us.
Yeah, she was referring to the final set that we just completed as far as the mess that's the Clippers, Donald Sterling finds himself in. All right, that is it for Chatterbox. All right, folks, it's time for another edition of Have You Seen Me? And then after that, it's on a need-to-know basis with Jerome Respree.
Sir, have you seen this girl?
Hello, friends. I'm Jay, the host of The Jay Ryle Show and the Serious Side of The Jay Ryle Show. And it's time for another edition of Have You Seen Me?, where we put the spotlight on missing children of color. Tonight, we're heading to Georgia. Gwinnett Police is looking for a 26-year-old mother who hasn't been seen since Saturday morning. Police said Angela Robin was last seen in the parking lot of the Steeplechase Apartments in unincorporated Norcross at about 6 a.m. Saturday morning. Robin hasn't been seen or heard from since that time, and authorities said foul play has not been ruled out. Robin dropped off her 3-year-old daughter with a friend Friday before heading to a party in Atlanta later that evening, police said. Friends and authorities searched the wooded area around the apartments but found nothing of note, according to a news release from the Gwinnett County Police Department. Robert is described as 4'11", approximately 120 pounds, with long hair that is black with blonde tips. Anyone with information about Robert's whereabouts should call the Gwinnett County Police Department at 770-513-5300. Once again, that number is 770-513-5300. pray for the safe return of this beautiful young lady. We ask that you pray for her family. If you'd like to see someone featured on Have You Seen Me, all you have to do is pick up the phone right now if you're listening to a live broadcast and dial 347-850-1272, 347-850-1272, and leave the information with one of our producers. Or you can go to our Facebook page and type in TGR's Radio Network and leave the information there, or you can contact me direct on Facebook at J-A-Y-R-I-L, that's J Ryle, or you can shoot us an email to the JRyleShow@live.com. That's the JRyleShow@live.com, spelled JRyleShow@live.com. We pray for all people missing regardless of color. And until next time, I'm J Ryle, and you've been listening to Have You Seen Me, where we focus our attention on missing people of color. Take care.
Somewhere in America, a mother is crying.
A family is torn.
A child is lost,
missing, or even abducted.
We need your help!
Contact your local police station
for a listing of missing children in your area,
or log on to www.missingkids.com.
To obtain further information regarding missing children in your local community.
There's the next face you see.
Maybe a child that will need your help.
Help support America's missing.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.
Alright folks, this is the top of the hour or a little thereafter, and it's time for On a Need to Know Basis with our main man Jerome Esprit. Sir, what do you have on the agenda for this morning?
You know, Jay, I almost feel like running a disclaimer thing that some of this news may be disturbing. I feel like saying that today, but just yourself on how disturbing some of this is. Now, since we've been missing some of the news, we missed last week that the 67th anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking the color line in Major League Baseball. Did you know you missed that last week?
I did not know that. Wow.
Yeah. And here it goes back to Hank Aaron's comments. A new report came out that says 67 African-American players, and there are only 67 African-American players in Major League Baseball. And there are three teams without any African-Americans, which means there's an average of three African-American baseball players per team. Thank you very much.
Is that right?
Yeah. And that's why Hank Aaron said, tell me where progress is from the 70s. Two per team. Thank you very much.
That's unbelievable.
All right. Now, we missed the White House's annual 136th annual Easter egg roll event, so I won't tell you about that. And President Obama was in Tokyo. He was in Japan, South Korea, and Malaysia in the Philippines last week. He was talking to in the Philippines about his treaties and he finalized some new security accords where they're going to move more troops into the Philippines temporarily to counterweight China. Talk about all the other stuff that's going on in the world. For China and other disaster recovery, so there's about 500 American soldiers that are based in the southern Philippines since 2002. They're there to provide anti-terrorism training and intelligence to Filipino troops. We're going to see how this is going to go. But he joked with the emperor. I don't know if you know that there's still an emperor of Japan. There's not just the president, but the emperor. But President Obama said that I didn't have these gray hairs the last time you saw me. And the emperor said, you have a very hard job. Don't think that being president is easy, people. Now, Vice President Joe Biden joined Instagram last week as well. He had his first post laying out like aviated glasses on top of his desk. But they were on a campaign announcing this $600 million new competitive grant program to create targeted training and apprenticeship programs. So if you want to find out how to get into those programs or how to apply for those grants, the Labor Department has all of that grant information. But that's what the president has done last week, $600 million of new competitive grants.
Wow.
Congress is just doing it. Now, in a new study, scientists have shown that the genetic similarity between Neanderthal and non-African modern human populations have risen after inbreeding in Europe and Asia. So one scientist said before they died out about 3,000 years ago, Neanderthals coexisted with modern humans in Europe and Asia for 10,000 years. Now, both groups first evolved from Africa before spreading out. This is the scientist talking, not me. So they're believed to be common ancestors. So what this means is that their legacy genes have been linked to the increased risk in cancer and diabetes, according to this new study. The study has been published, shows that humans outside of Africa are more vulnerable to type 2 diabetes and some cancers. So if you want to check that out, there's a new study that was released on Nature magazine, also from Harvard Medical School, that suggested the gene that causes diabetes in Latin America came from Neanderthals. So stop blaming black people for everything. All right. Just thought I'd share. It may be disturbing, but maybe not. Now, Twitter was hijacked this week. The New York Police Department social media campaign this week came out, and they had a Pound My New York TV hashtag, and they wanted people to put up, you know, photos with a police officer and themselves. But what they got was, you know, the violent arrest. In a matter of hours, 10,000 negative responses.
Wow.
They bombarded the, yeah. So technically, you could do that if you want to in your police department and see what you get. Put up a picture of you and a police officer, and they were police brutality, you know, beat down, people getting arrested, hit by the police. They got bombarded. So I don't know if you saw that in the news today, but God, I care. Now, according to the Journal of Blacks in Higher Education, Harvard University's class of 2018 will be 12% black. This is the largest representation of blacks in the university's history. That will translate roughly to 170 new black students coming in this fall. And overall, Harvard accepts around 2,000 students from a pool of 34,000 applicants.
That's good stuff right there.
Yeah. Now, I don't know if I should bring this up, because you and Elias are probably going to laugh about this. But one Florida high school is considering a dress code for parents when picking up students.
I'm
not
going
to go into that any farther than that, but it's the Board of Education said that you should not come with slippers and all this other stuff. A member of the board said that, but you can't enforce a dress code on parents.
Good.
Well,
now, I support it.
I knew you were going to say that. That's why I thought it was funny. Now, the ban against affirmative action in Michigan public schools, public colleges and universities, and government hiring as a matter of states' rights is what the Supreme Court ruled last week. But that doesn't mean affirmative action is done. It just means that Michigan does not have to consider, they can't consider race as a criteria in their public schools and universities. But it's not gone down across the country. So if you heard those stories, affirmative action isn't dead, but they put a ballot initiative up and the justices, you know, opt out. They were being very Republican. They opted out and said that if the public votes to not have affirmative action, they don't have to have it. It was a horrible
You know what? We're going to talk about that next week, Drew. I'm glad you brought that up because that's something that I was eyeing, and we're going to definitely talk about that next week.
Okay, cool. Now, Virginia Beach school administrators ordered a school nurse to strip search a teacher down to her undergarment because her student had scabies. So the teacher is now suing the school. You cannot strip search your teacher because something's wrong with student. Back in the day,
because the student had what?
Everybody would have got that. What'd you say?
Because the student had what?
a student had scabies. And
what is
so
that?
It's a skin. You can transfer skin. It's making me itch while I say it. It's like a skin rash, but you can.
Okay.
You can it's very contagious, and so I don't know why they ordered the strip shirt to the teacher, but I think the guy or girl was just being pervert. I don't know what happened, but
that's what it sounds like.
Let me check and see if you have what the student has. I don't think you have that. Now,
yeah.
Here's my disturbing. The other stuff wasn't as disturbing as this one, but circumcisions have become less common in the U.S. Therefore,
boy,
it's a direct correlation between uncircumcised males and an increased risk of disease such as HIV and HPV is a new study that came out by the Mayo Clinic, and the American Academy of Pediatrics came out with a public statement a couple of years ago that supported the education and access to infant male circumcision. I have nothing else on that. I don't want to talk about it. Yeah, thanks. Now, a multi-millionaire tech entrepreneur who was once America's most eligible bachelor is now avoiding jail time despite beating his girlfriend, and they had videotapes, 117 times in a 30-minute attack. And he was charged with 45 felony counts over the incident that took place in his San Francisco apartment last year and received, get this, 25 hours of community service. Thank you very much.
Get out of Dodge. Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Hey, you know how that goes. Now, I have about five of these stories, but I'm only going to do one. Courtney Keller, 29, Washington State, can avoid her five-year prison sentence if she completes sex offender treatment. The mother of one was arrested after the victim contacted police. The married teacher's aide pled guilty to having sex with a student who was 16 who she met in detention, and she gave Vicodin. She
really?
Followed with drugs, had sex with him. 29 and was married. Mother
wow.
One. Oh, she's going to get... never mind. All right, now... Researchers, in case for the married people, researchers from the New York University examined data collected from 395 newlyweds and found that at the 30-month mark, couples no longer felt passionate, and the honeymoon effect starts to wear off after 2.5 years into marriage, is what that study says.
And they had to have a study women, for that?
They should have called somebody, right, Jay?
They should have called somebody. They could have told you that.
Yeah, we could have did a survey in the chat room for this one.
Yeah,
now,
exactly.
They said that 10% of the women described themselves as extremely unhappy, while 14% of the men said that they were extremely unhappy.
Wow. They spent money on that.
Now,
unbelievable.
All right, so the richest man in the world with a personal fortune of $76 billion, right?
Who is that? Is that Warren Buffett?
Nope, Bill Gates. He's still the richest man. They give away half their wealth every couple years, and they still become the richest people in the world. That shows you how money makes money, right?
Wow.
Yeah.
They
give away half. So he said he will not be leaving all of his money to his three children. He and his wife, Melinda, have opened up about how they raised their family, and the couple said in a conference in Vancouver that their children will be encouraged to make their own way in the world without the help of a billion-dollar trust fund. Bill Gates said, instead of money, we've given our two daughters and son a good education so that they can learn how to, so that they can learn how to rely on their own abilities rather than their parents' fortune.
Wow. And that's how those people like that end up dead. They're going to find Bill Gates and his wife somewhere close.
Yeah, didn't I do that story? The kids shot their parents in the house because they wanted to inherit their money faster? Yeah.
I didn't hear that, but yeah, that's okay.
Oh,
watch out, Bill Gates. Don't go to sleep.
Well, okay, get this. He's probably going to give them a couple $100 million. He's just not going to give them the $76 billion. So that's not going to be a hardship. You're going to inherit everything else. I think, but they give away half their money. So technically, if you only had $5 billion opposed to $76 billion, you'll be like the Walmart kids in
not paying your workers. So I guess
get rich off the back of those who you employ. Yeah, I hear you, Drew. All right, we have time for one more, brother. Give me a good one.
All right.
Me something that's gonna make me smile during the week. Make me happy.
You want a happy story?
Okay, just give me what you got there.
No, I have happy stories. That is just me to say that. All right. So here's the thing. Did you know that people are now buying beard transplants? It's a growth industry. The International Society of Hair Restoration Surgery found that the number of hair transplants increased by 10% globally from 2010 to 2012. So if you can't grow a beard and you just grow them in patches, that is the new surgery, and it's actually, you know, behind, you know, scalp, you know, it's 92% of what the surgeries are, and facial hair transplants and eyebrow. People are now getting beard transplants. It costs between $5,000 and $15,000 if you really must have a beard.
Tell you what, I don't want a beard that bad. Okay, Drum, I'm not sure if I'm feeling happy behind that, but okay. And that was on a need-to-know basis. I love the stories.
Right.
I love them. All right, folks, it's time for an update from NPR News, and we'll be back with our final thoughts on Unaware.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. In eastern Ukraine, pro-Russian separatists hosted a media event today with the 8 international observers they seized Friday. One of the hostages says the group is safe and unharmed. Pro-Russian militants claim the monitors from the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe are spies. Meanwhile, a vocal critic of President Vladimir Putin, who spent 10 years in Russian prisons as a result, is in eastern Ukraine today to bring attention to the crisis there. Former Russian oil tycoon Mikhail Khodorkovsky tried to meet with pro-Russian separatists today, but as NPR's Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson reports from Donetsk, he was rebuffed.
This Ukrainian online video shows separatists at the occupied administration building here angrily refusing to meet with Khodorkovsky this morning. One shouted at the former oil tycoon, "You sold out your motherland, just leave this territory. People here are patriots." Khodorkovsky left a short while later. He also met with Donetsk government officials and top businessmen. A few days ago in Kiev, Khodorkovsky accused Putin of lashing out at Ukraine because he was offended by the popular uprising that ousted his ally, Viktor Yanukovych, from the presidency. Soraya Sarhadi-Nelson, NPR News, Donetsk.
President Obama is calling on Myanmar to protect the rights of his Muslim minority. Speaking in neighboring Malaysia today, the president praised Myanmar's recent political reforms, but said they'll be undermined by ethnic and religious repression and violence. Mr. Obama heads to the Philippines Monday, and as Simone Orendain reports, he's due to arrive to a new security agreement with Manila that allows more American military activity in the Philippines.
The agreement allows for the U.S. to keep military assets, such as fighter jets, in the Philippines. And while the Philippine Constitution does not allow permanent foreign bases, the U.S. military will have temporary areas within certain Philippine outposts. Negotiators have said Philippine commanders would have complete access to all American areas. There had been U.S. bases for nearly a century in the Philippines until strong nationalistic pressure pushed them out in 1991. The Philippines is looking to bolster its underdeveloped military as its territorial row with China becomes more heated. Obama's tour of Asia is meant to strengthen U.S. ties with its allies in the region where China is a growing power. For NPR News, I'm Simone Orendain in Manila.
South Korea's prime minister is stepping down over the government's handling of the ferry sinking 11 days ago that's left more than 300 people dead or missing. Chung Hung-won blames the tragedy on what he calls deep-rooted evils in society. The resignation is largely symbolic since executive power in Seoul rests mainly with the president. This is NPR News.
All right, folks, it's time for our final thoughts. And if we get our final thoughts done early enough, we're going to try to sneak one last phone call in. Brother wanted to make a comment about what happened with the L.A. Clippers. So we'll see what happens. So ladies first, final thoughts, Dr. Princess Ardia, you're first.
Great show today, Jay, as always. And I just want to say that it's important for us, all of us, to respect our positions as professionals. And if we understand something more than the next person because of our profession, that it's not silly, but we have to be compassionate to understand that the other person just doesn't understand it from your viewpoint. And that's just respect and understanding. Thank you. And also, the situation with the violence. It's very sad to hear what happened to that young lady as she stands and she stood for so many people who have been wronged by gun violence and the violence in the street, and for her to lose her life. I trust that her death will not be in vain, that as her life has been sacrificed, that we will take an opportunity to stand up in our own community and realize that it's important, regardless of what it is that we're standing for. When we stand for it, you put yourself in the position, and it may be death, it may not be death, but you are to do it at all costs. And that's what we all do when we go out and opt to do what is our passion. So I trust that her death will not be in vain, and that all of us will stand up and speak out against gun violence and do it wholeheartedly. So that's my thought, and I would like for everyone to join me on Twitter, my new Twitter page, PrincessAdelia_. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Enjoy your work week. Jerome, final thoughts.
Sir, now, one news story I did miss was the Buffalo Bills cheerleaders have a complaint in court saying that they worked hundreds of hours for free and they were subject to groping and sexual comments. They were paid as little as $105 a season. So
what?
You know what? Yes. And, you know, the Raiders cheerleaders did this, the Bengals cheerleaders did this, and they all lost. They're getting paid nothing to work, right? And they have to do appearances and show up at children's hospitals and all this other stuff. $105 a season. Now, the announcement came out that the management company that owns the Buffalo Bills cheerleading squad says, officially, they won't have any cheerleaders this year. If you won't work for free, we're not going to have any. That's my final comment.
Wow, that's sad. As much money as the NFL makes, and for this
again,
type of stuff to go down, it's ridiculous. Yeah,
pro
it's
sport.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. Here we go.
Yeah. Oh boy, that just even it makes me feel even stronger than my comments are going to be at the end of the show. All right, Mr. Elias, man, final thoughts, my brother.
Well, let's stop the violence, man. Let's really stop the violence, man. If you guys want to kill each other, you feel like you need to kill each other, why don't you go and join the military and go to war? That way you can really prove who you are and how you are. So, and then you can fight for something you really believe in instead of just your territory.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the bottom line is that we live in a society where we know that there are races. There are people out there who do not like me because of the color of my skin, and I can accept that, and I understand that. I've always said that I have the most respect for the Ku Klux Klan because at least you know where they stand. They don't mess around with it. They tell you, hey, I don't like you, and I don't like you, and you don't like me. Let's do our thing. But when an owner of a major NBA franchise who owns a franchise in a league that has over 75% of his employees as African Americans can make those comments without any retribution whatsoever, in my opinion, someone needs to take a stand. If I'm a player for the Clippers, and if I hope the slight possibility that someone from that organization could be listening, lean in, listen up. You guys have an obligation to say, hell no, we're not going to take it anymore. Don't play for a franchise and for a person who thinks you're nothing but a piece of meat. Look, I just watched Django the other day, and the bottom line is people sell slaves, and one of the most memorable statements in that movie was when that guy said, in the state of Mississippi, I own this. This is my property, and I can do with it as I please. Let me tell you something, folks. Don't become a part of that. Be smart. Yeah, we have a few minutes left. Let's see, can we get this phone call in real quick? Ja Rule, welcome into the Serious Side. What's your comments, my brother?
Yes, how's it going?
It's going all right, man. You got 30 seconds, my man. What's happening?
Yes, man. I just wanted to, you know, say something that I wrote to the Clippers head coach, because without the players, he'll be nothing.
There you go.
And it goes like this. Where would I be without my players? The thought alone might break me, and I don't want to go crazy, because every coach needs a team. You know what I'm saying?
All right, man. All right. Well, listen, I'm a badass. Tell us where we can get it on iTunes, man. I appreciate your call. Wait. What a way to end the show. And on that note, Mr. L.E.S., it's Sunday. We're talking serious stuff. What time is it, my friend?
It's time for the Serious Side of the J. Wow. Show.
Folks, enjoy your work week. God bless you, and thank you for supporting the show. So for Mr. L.E.S., for Dr. Princess Aldea, and the smartest man in the world, Jerome is free, I'm Jay. And remember, if it is Sunday, we're talking serious stuff. It is the Serious Side. We'll see you back here next Sunday. Enjoy your work week, guys. God bless.
You are listening to the TJRS Radio Network.